George Kenney is an artist. However, you may have to put on a pair of hiking boots to see his work. That's because his brush is a chainsaw, and his canvases are tree stumps and tree trunks. About a year ago, the executive director of the Columbia Springs Environmental Education Center in Vancouver, Washington, invited Kenny to make art of some of the stumps and trunks in the site's forest. So using his chainsaw as a carving tool, Kenny spent the day making seven chunks of dead cedar into eagles, owls, herons, salmon, and other figures. Figuratively, at least, the dead wood comes to life again. In Isaiah's prophecy today, a dead tree stump as well tells us that God is going to do some awesome art with that tree stump. Messianic art. In the Old Testament setting, the shoot from the stump of Jesse was expected to be a Davidic king. The New Testament view applies more to a much later descendant of Jesse, in none other than the person of Jesus Christ. Now, next we hear Isaiah describe the peaceable kingdom. When this new shoot from Jesse reigns, the wolf shall be a guest of the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. There shall be no harm or ruin on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. Clearly, this worldview is quite unlike today's predator-prey world. It's another world altogether, another kingdom entirely. Now let's go back to the root of Jesse. The scene from Isaiah opens long after the chopping is done. The house of Jesse has been a dead stump for ages. And even though God once promised David that his house would rule forever, the lineage of kings went as far as David's son Solomon. Then the tree was split in two rival kingdoms. Eventually, stronger forces subdued them altogether. Long gone are the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. What's left are the Roman occupation, a puppet king named Herod, and a stump where the tree of Jesse once proudly stood. Now, writing only three centuries after David, Isaiah, still feeling hopeful, declares the roots of the kingdom are still there. And that is enough to produce a spring of renewed hope. Then, 7 centuries after that, the stump of Jesse would produce another king. The Spirit of the Lord is still willing to rest on such a king. And justice and peace might yet gather around his harmonic reign. Is it reasonable to keep our hopes fastened on this stump? Now, enter John the Baptist. Here's a fella you don't want to trust with any stray axes lying around. He's charismatic, fearless, confident, and wildly popular. He's perfectly willing to point at the seeds of power and accuse their inhabitants of the most outrageous things, all of which happen to be true. But what is truth? Like George Washington, who chopped down the cherry tree, John also cannot tell a lie. And he'll lose his head for this indiscretion. In the meantime, he's calling everyone within the sound of his voice to repent, to turn around, change your life. A new kingdom is coming. And John even quotes Isaiah, the original return of the king prophet. The one who plunges all comers into the river proclaims the near arrival of the one who will plunge his followers and these catechumens and candidates into the Holy Spirit and fire. Well, in wheeling his eschatological axe at the root of trees, John shakes us up a bit and jostles our routine. As human beings, we strive for consistency, predictability, and stability. And though it's good to experience new things, not many of us thrive on doing new things all the time. Our lives are punctuated by difference, but regularity reigns. The appearance of John every Advent reminds us that we need to repent, turn away from selfish interest, and turn toward God. For he comes not as a warrior, Messiah, but as the human face of divine mercy. This interior renewal is nothing less than dying to self and rising with Christ, the Paschal mystery. So what regular routines do we need to put the axe to? We're all addicted to our own habitual way of thinking and doing. From what in our lives do we need to chop away? What does this turning toward God look like in our time and place in the midst of relationships we have? These catechumens and candidates have made a commitment to join us on our journey of conversion. The rite of Christian initiation of adults is not only about a schedule of classes on Tuesday night here, but it is also a journey on which our catechumens and candidates meet Christ and grow in their relationship. The destination is not complete knowledge of the tenets of the faith and the catechism of the Catholic Church, but a total change in one's way of life that is none other than repentance. So how do we measure our conversion in our lives? Not through written tests or oral exams, but in verifiable actions and attitudes. We, along with these inquirers, show that we are becoming more and more Christ-like through sufficient acquaintance with Christian teaching as well as a spirit of faith and charity. We can hear John telling us that God can make Christians from stones, but there is no inherent value or guarantee of salvation by simply being Christian. John would say something more is demanded, an interior reorientation toward God and the values of his kingdom. Well, something has to die in order for something else to live, the botanists tell us. Scripture has the same message. We have to let go of the past, the old ways, the old self, in order to usher in the new life we long for. We can't serve two masters, and we can't have it both ways. We want new life. Well, first, we have to die to the old one. Now, where's the axe?